Pod tonight. Thank you for joining Contest Layups episode number 92.
I guess.
we got tonight.
V.
Raul OKC all day?
Perhaps.
Eddie the Riddler returns again.
Oh my god.
Remember you can find Contest Layups on iTunes, Google Play, Instagram, Facebook.
Don't forget to check us out on YouTube by searching Contest Layups episodes, full episodes and more.
And remember to clear your search history.
Yep. Always. Always clear it.
Hi, how you guys been?
Good.
How's your week been?
Good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Spurs all day, let's go.
Spurs. They're... Spurs ball.
So in the NBA, the playoffs started. Obviously, we're just going to get right into it. Spurs and the Nuggets and the Blazers and Thunder. We have our two resident, V's the resident Spurs fan and Raul's the resident Thunder fan here. And those are by far the best two series in the playoffs, so we're going to start talking about those.
We're hoping that both of our teams make it through so that we can have our bet.
We're not hoping. Spurs are going to make it through. I hope the Thunder make it through.
Yeah.
Thunder are making it through.
The Thunder are playing the Blazers right now. We're recording this. We'll be honest with you. We're recording this during halftime. Raul's a little antsy. But
yep.
So, Raul, talk about how the series has been for the Thunder. In your opinion,
it's
been a series of two home courts, I think.
Yeah, I have a lot of opinions about this.
So do I.
I have tons of opinions about this. Okay, where to begin? Okay, so first of all, I give Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum all the credit in the world. They've been absolutely fantastic for the past three games. They're amazing. Damian Lillard's really, really showing people that he is an elite player in the league and that he has what it takes.
30 points a game, 20 for Lillard, 26 for McCollum.
Yeah, and the way that he's scoring is just like, this guy's pulling up from 30 feet and he's just draining threes in everybody's face all day.
McCollum's hit 50% of his threes in the series.
And they're both scoring when they need to. It's not just kind of empty points, you know, like, oh, we're going to put some in, like, the first quarter and then, like, nothing really after. Like, these are all, they're all scoring at very crucial points, so I give them a ton of credit. But the fact of the matter is, Oklahoma City has not been doing their job for these past three games. They have not been doing their job.
Good, yeah. Just offensively or defensively, or both?
Defensively, they've been okay. The first game, the second game, they were awful defensively, to tell you the truth.
Second half, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
The second half, they were absolutely terrible on both ends. But the first game, they were pretty good defensively. If they would have played better defense, if they would have played defense throughout the whole game, I think that they would have won that game. Or, to another point of mine, they need to get Steven Adams involved more. They need to force feed him down low and get him started early. And he needs to be able to get up quicker shots. All of this, like, I've seen a couple times where he'll try to post up down low and he'll try to gain position on Cantor or whoever or whichever big they put on him, but he does too much dribbling, too much trying to feel them out. This guy's not a gifted post player. Like, he doesn't have post moves. He's not Hakeem Olajuwon, dude. Like, you know, but...
Yeah, get it and go.
But if you get it and you go and you get it down low, you got position on him, and then you hit him with the quick hook that he loves taking all the time.
Loves
and that, and that he hits, honestly, like, 70% of the time. That would help the team so much in winning the game. I don't think it's so much about Paul George being unhealthy. I get that Paul George isn't the healthiest right now, but in all honesty, You don't need Paul George to be going off in order to win this series. As good as good as Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum has been, Oklahoma City has the matchups. They have all the matchups. You just don't need Paul George to go 3-for-18 to get his points. If you could get him to get 20 points and give you like 5-for-12 or whatever, something with better percentages, less shots, and just more makes.
Get Adams more involved.
Yeah, and get Adams more involved and get him involved early.
Yeah.
That is the straight recipe to success for this Oklahoma City team. If you get Adams involved right from the get-go, that opens the floor up so much for the Thunder. Then all of a sudden, when you have him going and he's making that extra pass to Jeremy Grant or to Terrence Ferguson or to Paul George or Russell Westbrook, all of a sudden you see the Thunder being able to shoot threes, getting those easy looks and getting those open looks because they all have to collapse on Steven Adams. That's what makes it happen when you're watching the Thunder and you say, oh, wow, the Thunder could actually shoot some threes. Oh, these guys are actually not bad shooters. We could rely on them because they're taking such easy shots, because Steven Adams is getting involved.
Yeah.
If you're not getting Steven Adams involved, you're probably not going to – you're going to have a hard time winning the game. On top of that, you have – there's no reason why you should be struggling on boards against Portland. There's no reason why you should be losing the rebounds – losing in rebounds to Portland, period. And the fact that Enes Kanter outplayed Adams so badly in the first game too is easy. Just ridiculous. Enes Kanter having a 20-20 game against the likes of Steven Adams, Jeremy Grant, and Nerlens Noel is completely unacceptable. That is completely unacceptable. You cannot have that. You need to box these guys out. And that's what you're supposed to be. That's what a lot of your offense is built on. As the Thunder, you're one of the best rebounding teams in the league. You need to play like it.
Good be.
All of that was wrong. First, it starts defensively. The reason Steven Adams is good is because you get defensive stops, and you move the ball in transition, and he gets good baskets running the floor and cutting to the paint. And
I see it both ways.
And I know this year they started doing the half-court defensive set with Paul George. And Steven Adams worked off Paul George to get a lot of his buckets. And now if Paul George is not firing in the half court, then all of a sudden they try to rely on Steven Adams, who, as much as I want to say it, in the playoffs has never done anything. Steven Adams in the playoffs is just not good. Regular season, he destroys. But when you're going against even a three seed that has their best big man out, freaking Myers Leonard and
Zach Collins
and Enes Kanter, even though they're not one of the premier centers in the league, they still have height. They still for sure have length. And I know Steven Adams is big, but those other two centers, minus Enes Kanter, are younger and faster. And Enes Kanter's played against this dude all the time. And we all know what's going on with Russell's shot. It's not there. This team is... I was with you. I liked them early in the season, how they played defensively, which led them to get easy baskets. But right now, because Paul George can't work in a half-court set, this team's done. This team is going to be... Man, I hate to say it to you, Raul. This one's baked.
I mean, maybe it is. Maybe it is. But the fact that... Here's why I am just so angry year. Because every year I see them in the regular season and they do exactly what they're supposed to do. Every year. And then in the playoffs, they just don't. So, like, yes, I get it. Like, I completely get it. And I completely get why everybody hates me for freaking liking the Thunder for the past 10 years. But it's because every year I see them doing what they have to do. Like, this season, I especially saw Steven Adams step up his post game offensively and defensively. I saw Paul George come into his own, scoring like almost KD-like. That's crazy. Like, they score in different ways, but the way how easy it was for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I saw Russell Westbrook really be in control of the game and really take control and control the pace of the game. Those are the three things that they absolutely needed to do to get to the next level. And I saw that happen all year. All year I saw them doing that successfully. And then in the playoffs, they don't. So then, like, I'm just like, here's what you need to do. You need to do this because you did it in the regular season and nobody could stop you when you're doing that. But then in the regular season, I mean, in the playoffs, if you're not doing that, then you're not going to win.
So,
And if I can recognize it, why can't Russell Westbrook recognize it?
Hey, that's what I'm saying. When Billy Donovan gets fired, are you going to play?
Man, I want to. I honestly think, in as much, man, like, Billy Donovan, I want him gone. I want Billy Donovan gone, because at the end of the day, as somebody who is super loyal to a fault to the Thunder, I'm ready for a coach that is willing to hold the players responsible for their mistakes. And he never has done any of that.
Quick thing before you go, V. Everyone outside of Steven Adams and Nerlens Noel is shooting well below 41% for this series for the Thunder. George shooting 36%, Westbrook 40%, oh, Dennis Schroeder 36%. Jeremy Grant is 40%. He is the fifth leading scorer on this team.
Take a look at Ferguson's stats for me, by the way. How many threes and what's his percentage for the series?
5-11 from three. 45% from three for Ferguson.
I guess that's kind of normal. But only 11 threes, though, that should be a lot more.
Here's Billy Donovan is stuck in a position that every coach who's going to coach Russell Westbrook is going to be stuck in.
I don't think so.
We said this when we talked about Russell and KD. When Russell sees that his homie isn't performing to how he needs to perform, he starts trying to do more, and then it gets out of control, and then he starts jabbing. And I love the heart of Russell Westbrook. It's what got him here. I love all of that. But he starts talking to Damian Lillard, and offensive, as far as efficiency, Damian Lillard is just better. And right now we're really seeing that in this series. I'm not saying that Damian Lillard might be a better basketball player of all, and when it comes down to it at the end of their careers, who's better? Who knows? But as far as making your team go and receiving what your coach is telling you, there's no coach that's going to talk to Russell Westbrook. Who's going to control Russell Westbrook?
You don't think
it's about the control.
You don't think if Mark Jackson came in there and Russell Westbrook got out of control and that he was taking a couple unwarranted threes and made a few bad basketball plays in a row, which he does. You don't think Mark Jackson would hold him accountable for that?
Only Mark Jackson.
No. Yeah. Only Mark Jackson, when he was coaching the Warriors, was backstabbing everybody. No. I completely disagree.
Hey, baby, I know you've been shooting some ball. You need to relax out there, you know.
I heard they don't like our brand of basketball.
Yo, but the Lillard-Westbrook thing has kind of gotten to Russell's head, and it helped him in Game 3. Lillard was kind of off in this beginning of Game 4 here before we started recording this at halftime, but then he got really hot at the end of the half. Not really hot, but he made a big three. Had about 5 points and then had a couple big assists in the half. So, do you think that this little rivalry, which has been pretty cool to see between Damian and Russell Westbrook, do you think that it is getting to Russell Westbrook and he's pressing too much right now?
No. I honestly don't think that anybody gets into Russell Westbrook's head other than Russell Westbrook.
He's pressing himself as he always does.
Like, and
okay, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't. There's nobody who's gonna throw Russell Westbrook off of his game. Like it's only on him. You know, it's only on him. And, nobody's really gonna get under his skin. Like it's
the thing that's going on right now, and I'm coming down to it again. Paul George, where are you at? Like I know his shots off, but we talked about Paul all season getting to the basket. Getting free throws.
Yeah.
And Russell's passing the ball and he's seeing him jack up these wild threes. Meanwhile, Damian Lillard is giving CJ McCollum the ball, and CJ is in beast mode, making everything that is looking good.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
when you don't have that, but you need at least a 1-2 combo, even in the playoffs, what's going on? And then you pass the ball down to Stephen Adams, and this dude is just fumbling the ball.
Yeah. No, he's looking bad.
Stumbling, fumbling.
I also think that it's, like, again, I said that Russell Westbrook needs to control the pace of the game a lot better. The first two games, Russell Westbrook would, there was two things that would happen. The offense would either be really stagnant, or Russell Westbrook would go 80 miles an hour. That's all it was. There was no pace to the game. There was no pace for the Thunder. And a lot of the times when Russell Westbrook would go 80 miles an hour, or he would just be aggressive and try to drive to the basket and then do it, like dish it off to Adams or to Noel, they wouldn't be able to, they wouldn't know it's coming, because it's just like completely out of control. Like, yo, like, we don't know what you're doing. Like, are you going to pass to us? Are you going to go up? Like, I don't, are you trying to like slam it down? I don't know. So that Russell Westbrook needs to do a better job of dictating the pace of the game. But ultimately, like, yeah, like, and I agree with V also, I mean, to an extent, but I also see that, like, Paul George and Russell Westbrook, I think they see CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard and the way that they're scoring, and I think that Paul George kind of puts it, like, in his mind that, like, okay, McCollum's going off by shooting a bunch of threes. I need to shoot threes.
Yeah.
You got to have it. Yeah, like, that's, like, if when McCollum goes... And he hits like a couple threes in a row. Paul George is walking up, and then he's just like, "All right, time to answer back with my own threes." And it's just like, "Nah, dude.
Not right now. We
need you to do the little through the legs, little cross, and then just get into the lane with a little floater. Like, that's all day for you. Just do that. Your shoulder hurts.
It's a difference in mindset for sure. Because every time CJ McCollum hits a three." Paul George instantly, like, gotta bang it back.
Yeah.
But every time Paul George does something, CJ McCollum's mindset is, okay, get back on offense, execute the offense, work the game plan.
Yeah.
That does come down to coaching. So, you know, but Paul George and Russell Westbrook are vets. Like, if you don't have it in your mind now, like, when are you gonna have it in your mind?
And they need to have it in their mind. Like, and that's what I'm saying as a fan. Dude, get it in your head. It's bigger than you.
This is bigger than you.
Just do what you need to do to get to the next round.
We need to play all brand of basketball.
Yeah.
Predictions for the rest of the series.
Portland in five.
I mean, the way that it went, it can't go six, because I'm not gonna believe that the Thunder could win four in a row. So I guess Thunder in seven now. Because they weren't supposed to lose the second game, but they did.
They weren't supposed to lose the first game. They just missed so many shots, I thought.
It's whatever if they lost the first game.
I'm going to say Thunder in seven, actually.
Wow. Well, I mean,
you know what I think is going to happen? I think the Thunder win tonight. I think the Thunder win game five and then lose game six at home and then come back and win game seven.
Who is this guy?
Yo. All right, the other wishes.
I hope that happens. That'd be awesome.
The other great series that we have going on, I don't know if it's great, but it's been good. V's team, the Spurs, and the Denver Nuggets are tied up at two. V, talk about your boys. San Antonio Spurs, what have you liked, what have you not liked from them? Nikola Jokic nearly averaged a triple-double.
Man, like, you're not going to stop the Joker. But DeMar DeRozan, it comes down to the same thing that the Toronto Raptors saw last year. DeMar DeRozan, are you just going to forget how to play basketball during a series? Like, sometimes I'm watching this guy and everything's smooth. He's working with LaMarcus Aldridge. He's feeding him passes. And LaMarcus is playing great on the inside. He's the best player in the series right now other than Jokic.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the bench mob for the Spurs is good. But if you allow Jamal Murray to just... I don't know how you guard this guy when, like Raul says, just throws up stuff and it drops.
Well, in that game four, he didn't. Game three, he didn't. Game three, he was terrible.
But it's about timing. Like, I feel like Jamal Murray's made every big play he's had to so far in the series to keep the Nuggets where they are. The game, I think it should be 3-1 Spurs right now. Spurs had a good lead going into the last game in the first two quarters.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a little bit of that. When Denver makes a run, it's the mentality of the Spurs. You have to be able to get a stop.
Right.
And it's always been like that with the Spurs. Sometimes they're up by 5, and then they lose by 25 because they couldn't get a stop for the longest time, and Popovich gets pissed off.
That's this year's Spurs, but yeah, continue.
And I just can't, it's 2-2, so I'm worried. But if we execute and we play how we're supposed to, it's going to be okay. I don't know. It's up in the air right now because Denver's a good team. Denver's streaky. Denver's the 2 seed, but I don't feel like they're a 2 seed.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's scary right now because I want them to go to the next round so I can smash Raul.
If the Thunder get there.
If the Thunder get there. Yeah.
We're not going to lie to you on Kathesa Leos here. Raul just checked his phone and saw the score of the Portland
Thunder. What was the Thunder
score? Game. It was not good.
Bad?
It's okay.
All right.
Anyway, the Spurs have been hot and cold, I agree.
All season.
It's been a really inconsistent year, but I think the Nuggets made a great adjustment in that game four, where they just kind of started going at the Spurs just relentlessly defensively. They really made the Spurs work for every single shot in that second and that third quarter. Really, that was when they went on that big run. Raul, what do you think about the series? What do you think about Nuggets Spurs?
How's it been going? I mean, I honestly think that the Spurs have this kind of in the bag. From what I've seen, the Spurs have played a lot better basketball than the Nuggets throughout pretty much all the games.
I'd say more consistently. Yeah, I'd agree with you.
Definitely
yeah.
more consistent. Definitely just like, as far as fundamentally sound basketball, I think they're just playing a lot better. I think the Nuggets kind of relied on Jamal Murray's athleticism and taking advantage of that matchup, which is, that's what you're supposed to do.
That's what you do.
Jamal Murray should have the matchup advantage, even though Derek White has played out of his mind.
Yeah, that great game three, 36 points, yeah.
But I mean, they're just getting better shots. They're getting a lot cleaner looks, easier shots, and I have faith that the Spurs are going to pull it out. I do like, from what I've seen, the Nuggets do really well that they should be taking advantage of more of is Millsap. Millsap needs to do a lot better, and I think it was game two that he was putting on a clinic. He was absolutely putting on a clinic against whoever was defending him. And he was just a whole bunch of just different moves just down low, just in the post, and how he would get a look at the basket. But yeah,
20 points that game.
Yeah, Jokic is doing good. We'll see. I think the Spurs need to just do a better job of containing Murray, especially late in late games. Late game situations, but to be honest, I'm actually kind of surprised that the series is tied. I think the Spurs should have this 3-1 already.
It comes down to execution, both offensively and defensively. The Spurs are not as athletic or as talented. I mean, the Spurs have good players.
They have good players, yeah,
but just all around athleticism and talent goes to the Nuggets.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you have even the slightest lapse in execution, that's really going to hinder your chances at winning any game if you're not as athletic as the other team in any sport. And that's kind of what I feel like is going on. They get it. They have the game. The game is, they're feeling right. And something along the line doesn't go their way. And then they put their heads in the sand and kind of crumble. And that's kind of, I love DeMar. I love LaMarcus. LaMarcus didn't win anything in Portland, so I'm always worried about that because I want them to win. And you got to know how to win in order to progress in the playoffs.
Right.
And DeMar got far in the Eastern Conference. But again, his mental state, I'm sure that, I know it's not I know it's not supposed to affect his performance as far as him being bipolar or whatever his condition was, but at some point, I see it happen on the floor where he doesn't have the same confidence. He drives a little slower. Yeah. You got to attack the whole time, and that's why I love Russell Westbrook, because no matter what, only person that can stop Russell Westbrook is Russell Westbrook. I want the Bertans and Bellinelli. And this bench mob has to score. You have to do what you have to do when it comes down to it. And if you're in there to shoot a three or you're in there to freaking play defense, you need to do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And when you have the lapse and then Jamal Murray is all of a sudden feeling it, there's problems. I was so optimistic going into this. After the first two games, I felt great. And now that I've seen the last two, I just don't want the Spurs to feel like a seven seed and feel undermatched and feel like they're not supposed to be there when they all know they are. But
I don't think that's the case necessarily. I think San Antonio knows that they should be there and that they have the upper hand. Even though they lost home court in game four, they still have the upper hand here because they've won a road game in Denver where it was supposed to be a more difficult environment. San Antonio is, I really like the way Jakob Poeltl has played. I think he's been aggressive around the rim. He's going to be, I think, the big key for them.
In their wins, at least.
Yeah, in their wins, he's been good. Even in their loss in Game 4, I thought he was active. But I do think that what happened is Denver locked up the starters in that third quarter. And then it was just kind of, that was a turning point for Denver in that game. But it's not something that San Antonio can't recover from. Go ahead, Raul.
Yeah, I also think that DeMar DeRozan, I think the problem is he's kind of having a little bit of trouble being decisive with what he wants to do and how he wants to go about carrying out what he wants to do when he has the ball in his hands.
Okay.
There's a lot of times where he might get it in the top of the key and then it feels like he's making a last minute decision. You know, like you're either going to go up and draw attention to yourself to try to dish out, or you're either going to go up and you're going to go up strong and you're going to get the contact and go to the line and hopefully get an and one. But there's a lot of times where he changes his mind in the air, and that causes a lot of late game turnovers, and that's where Denver kind of capitalizes. But if you look at the scores, like, they're all pretty similar, and it all comes down to like the last couple minutes in the fourth quarter. So it's really going to come down to execution, and if it comes down to DeRozan and LaMarcus, they need to be decisive with how they want to close out the game.
Yeah.
Because Jokic knows what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And it's going to, Jokic knows what he wants to do, but you're going to have to rely on Jamal Murray, or you're going to have to rely on Gary Harris, or whoever.
Personally, I would rather be in San Antonio's shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Regard, yeah.
Where even though Derek White's shooting 64% from the field in this series, which is stupid, he's going to come back a little down to earth. But at the same time, Rudy Gay is going to shoot better, shooting 30% from the field in the series, only 33 shots, but still.
Yeah, and Rudy Gay needs to step it up too. Yeah, it's Rudy Gay, and everybody thinks he's kind of a washed up kind of guy, but he's not.
He was solid.
You know, he's not, and he's a big part of the matchups against Denver. You know, like, Rudy Gay is, for what he is, he's still a guy who's extremely athletic, who will still give a lot of teams problems, and if you're getting him clean shots, like how the Spurs can do, this guy's going to be a problem to guard. So they need to work on getting him easy shots and getting him easy looks.
Yeah.
And I think DeMar and LaMarcus, they need to do a better job of just being more consistent. And then I think they got this.
Where Eddie, you said that it's an advantage for the Spurs that they, won their two games and they know they could win on a road. I think it's at a disadvantage now.
Why do you say that?
Because it's hard to beat somebody at home two times in the playoffs. So you already got your one win on the road.
Yeah.
At that point, you need to take full advantage. If this was a 3-1 series, I'd like it. But right now, to go back to Denver, and the Spurs played well there. Like, that's the thing. Spurs played well each time.
Yeah, they did.
But you go home, you lose this, or you go to Denver, you lose this, then you go home and you win, you go back game seven. Now you have to beat them game seven at their place, which is going to be difficult because you already won one.
If it comes down to that, I would still be comfortable with the Spurs just because they execute so much better than the Nuggets will, and that's all what game sevens are, is execution upon execution.
But basketball games are usually the best player on the court wins the game.
Who is the best player in the series then?
I'd have to say Jokic. Like,
I mean, he's averaging close to a triple-double, yeah. But
impact-wise. I think LaMarcus is having the best series.
He's having a great series.
But
about 23 points a game.
But, like, the way... how much effort LaMarcus has to give is not to say... it's not the same effort that Jokic... I feel like Jokic gets his stuff way easier. He gets in a flow, he grabs a ball, he shoots three, gets to the paint, puts it in because he's bigger than everybody. LaMarcus is putting in so much work.
Like, fair enough.
Well, that's what happens when you're... you know, mid-range guy. You know,
I think the V's right, though, is that LaMarcus has to rely on backing down, and then going up and turning that, you know, that fadeaway jumper, or, you know, going up in the lane. Jokic is just kind of going through the flow of the offense, while LaMarcus has to rely on ISO post-ups. If the Spurs are to be successful, they have to allow LaMarcus to score in the flow of their offense, not so much relying on ISO post-ups.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, let's give predictions for the rest of the series. Go ahead, V.
Spurs and six.
Oh, baby. Go ahead, Raul.
Spurs and six.
Spurs and six. All of us.
Oh, man, no. Eddie agrees. I disagree. Denver and seven.
So I think we're all in agreement that Spurs are going to win the series.
Dang, so we all picked Spurs in six, so we're all saying that Spurs are going to win the next two games.
Everything we just talked about, it just didn't matter because we both said...
No, it did because I thought, you know, you didn't agree with me that the Spurs are going to win on the road again.
Man, I have a hard time, but I'm going to have faith.
Well, and you should. I think they've proven that they can. They can execute well. Like I just said, they got to get less ISO posts.
Come on, Rudy Gay!
And let Rudy Gay score the ball. In the flow of the offense. He's got to get better shots. That's what it's going to come down to. Derek White will not shoot 64% from the field, but he's still going to be effective. He's killing Jamal Murray in this series.
Do you guys know, though, that Jamal Murray is scoring? How can we stop Jamal Murray? It's Jamal Murray. Out of the list of NBA points. I know he's having a good year. But
the list of NBA actual players who are listed as a point guard, he's probably in the top 15, maybe.
What?
Yeah.
What? All right, we're going to have a different discussion on this.
Yeah, we'll have a debate on that later.
Anyway, the rest of the NBA playoffs is almost like a wash. Basically, all those series are decided either 3-1, 3-0, or 4-0, where it's the Milwaukee Bucks ahead of the Pistons 3-0. The Celtics swept the Pacers 4-0 today. Celtics finished up that series. Where I'll just check the score. The Thunder within 11 of the Blazers.
Let's go.
Did you say within 11? Oh my god,
it was so bad. No, I checked the score and it was 74-51 when I first checked.
Oh wow,
it.
Okay. Wow. I didn't know.
Yeah, that's
and then it was 74-57, and then I just periodically checked it and now it's 79-68. So that's very good.
You'll take it for now.
Yeah. That's very good.
All right,
it's a very good sign.
So anyway, the rest of the playoffs is kind of a wash, as I was saying. The Clippers, even though they had that great game two comeback against the Warriors, they're basically done.
The Warriors did a really good job of shutting down Lou Williams today.
Yeah, they did. Williams cannot get a good shot.
And that's another situation where too much talent now trumps execution, because the Clippers were playing a really good game too.
That talent, though, that's Hall of Fame worthy talent. I think still the Spurs match up better with the Nuggets than, and they can execute better.
I want to ask you guys a question. What do you guys think of Pat Beverly in this whole thing? Because I don't know. Even though they stole a game in this series, I was never worried about Patrick Beverly shutting down any of the. I was never worried about Patrick Beverly shutting down Stephen Curry or Kevin Durant.
Well, Steph Curry had a terrible game today, but it didn't matter because the Warriors, it's strength in numbers.
Clay Thompson went off.
Clay Thompson had an incredible first half, and then Durant just was Durant in the second half. The Warriors are just way, they have too many great players. I will give credit to the Clippers. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 25 points today.
Good boy.
Had,
rookie of the year.
Shamet had, I think he was in double figures, but maybe he had 9 points. But still, the rookies for the Clippers, Doc Rivers is coaching them up, getting crucial playoff experience for these kids going forward. And that is awesome for them going up against the defending champs. Go ahead, V.
As far as Pat Beverly goes, he's doing everything he's supposed to do being Pat Beverly.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that I'm going to lock you down. I'm going to try to get in your head. Yeah. I'm going to keep being annoying. And he did. He had steals. He had a bunch of blocks.
Yeah.
Like, he played well, but that's
his limitation.
A small buffer to the giant juggernaut that the Golden State Warriors are.
And that 31-point comeback was an aberration. I mean, obviously, they're up by 31 in the third quarter. It was kind of like they shut it down. All right. You know, you could tell they were being lazy defensively. And then the next two games, they blew them out in game three. And today, the Clippers thought they could win when they had a little lead in the third quarter or whatever. And then Golden State's like, no, we're done here.
Yeah, Pat Beverly's good, but when I can shoot over you, it doesn't matter how good you are.
Yeah. And it's kind of like Golden State. I don't think it was ever a concern for Golden State, really. The Rockets up 3-0 on the Jazz. That series is just about done. The Jazz had their best chance last night. The Jazz have been shooting terribly this series. James Harden had a terrible shooting night last night, and it didn't matter. Where, you know, the Rockets are just a much better team than the Jazz. They blew them out in those first two games. The Rockets might close it out in 4. Maybe the Jazz win game 4, but it should be over in 5 at the very least, very latest. The other 3-1 series in the East, the Philadelphia 76ers up 3-1 on the Brooklyn Nets. There was a bunch of shit-talking in that series, which was kind of cool. Jared Dudley going at Ben Simmons, but... The NBA said that there should have been a foul on Jared Allen at the end of Game 4 where Tobias Harris was grabbing him, and a foul was not called, and then Philadelphia stole the ball and got 2 free throws, iced the game. They won that game by 4. But that series has been a couple blowouts by the 76ers. Nets stole Game 1. Couldn't win Game 4. It's a good growing experience for them, I think. But ultimately, the Sixers are just a better team.
Only thing I have to say, and I mentioned it to you guys, is that the loss of Jared Dudley in that game is almost like a leader, a veteran leader that you needed in a big game. I know the Sixers lost Jimmy Butler, but I feel like with the Sixers having everybody on their team, they can make up for the production lost by Jimmy Butler. Maybe not all of it, but they certainly can hustle. Scott had a big game.
Scott had a big shot in the corner.
Yeah, it was nasty. And little things like that you can make up for. But what Jared Dudley really brought to that team was that toughness that I like seeing, talking trash, getting into heads. And him not being there in the way that they kind of lost, I feel like they needed that real leadership role to say, like, let's go Jared Dudley all day.
You're right, though.
Ben Simmons?
You're right.
This guy can't even shoot threes.
But you're right, though. I mean, it's that mentality that the Nets don't have established yet. They've never been in the playoffs in this situation, you know, and they kind of, and their whole team is super young, you know, so it's, I mean, outside of Ed Davis and Jared Dudley, you know, it was kind of like they don't have a lot of guys with a lot of playoff experience, so it was something that they needed, and they, missing him, yeah, I kind of agree with you there, Bean.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that series is 3-1. It'll probably be done in 5 or 6.
Goodbye.
And then the other series, the, Toronto Raptors, Orlando Magic. Magic stole game 1. D.J. Augustine hitting a big 3 and then got promptly blown out in the next 3 games. So the Magic was... It was a nice little story in that game 1, but it was more the Raptors not playing actual basketball for 2 months. And Magic kind of sneaking up on them and getting a win.
The Orlando Magic, best record since the All-Star break. They were really hot coming in. Mm-hmm. And they essentially were playing playoff basketball when the Toronto Raptors weren't. Like, oh, snap, you guys are ready to go. You know, like... And now it came down to it. And Kawhi, my boy Kawhi, so efficient.
Yep.
So good.
Pascal Siakam had a big game 3.
Oh, your boys.
Pascal Siakam, Raul and I had an off-air conversation about this and how he's the number 2 option and stuff, but we're not going to go into that. So, anyway.
Yeah. We're not going to go into it because anyone's wrong.
Yes, exactly. So, but the rest of the playoffs is just kind of, again, just a wash. So, we just wanted to gloss over that really quick. Do you guys want to talk about coaches and in recent front office meanderings, I guess?
We can.
Luke Walton got fired by the Los Angeles Lakers, and that was, we didn't want that to happen on our last episode.
The bloodline
is gone.
Don't worry, he'll be back.
Ty Lue and Monty Williams have had second interviews with the Lakers.
Don't do it.
I don't think they should either. And, oh no, Rick Pitino has been rumored to come to the Cavs, which is weird.
My boy Rick?
Yeah, your boy Rick. Stripper Rick, though.
Man, let's go.
Stripper Rick.
You went to Cleveland is where you need to be, Rick. No cameras, no anything. No cameras.
Super boring Rick. No, yo, you're going
to Delonte West smashed LeBron's mom and no one talked about it. How does that happen? Only in Cleveland.
But the big, actually, meandering that I wanted to talk about. You like that guy? You guys like that
meandering?
Word?
Meandering, nice.
Yep. David Griffin going to the New Orleans Pelicans. That, I think, is a huge sign for New Orleans, where they get the best GM available and the best GM available for their situation, with Anthony Davis being linked to Clutch Sports and Rich Paul. David Griffin, the former GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers when they won the title in 2016, has a great relationship with LeBron James and Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, because Rich Paul forced David Griffin's hand into signing Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith to those big contracts.
Go get it.
And that's the guy that you want to have in your corner when it comes to this Anthony Davis, you know, thing, where Davis requested a trade, and obviously you don't want to trade Anthony Davis if you can avoid it. So that's a good guy to have in your corner where you can work with Rich Paul and Anthony Davis to hopefully, you know, remedy the situation and make it the best that it can. What do you think, Raul? What do you think about David Griffin being hired to the Pelicans?
I like David Griffin.
On NBA TV a lot. He was on Sirius XM. Really knowledgeable.
Yeah, really knowledgeable. He seems to have a good relationship, just in the NBA in general, with other GMs and players and everything. You just get that sense that he's, people like being around him. And that's a very good thing for New Orleans, because where New Orleans was, they're kind of like a franchise that nobody really wanted to deal with, especially after that Lakers fiasco. You know, like the Lakers and the Pelicans, even though I think the Pelicans got a lot of respect for being like, yo, Magic, get out of my face. I think they're still kind of bound to the Lakers in the sense that, like, people just didn't want to deal with those franchises. Like, yo, like, Pelicans, you're kind of garbage. Like, you know, like, I don't know, you do some shady stuff with Anthony Davis in the way that, like, oh, like, we should play him or we shouldn't play him. We should take him out of our intro video. We shouldn't. Like, you know,
oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
All this, like, kind of just nonsense.
Shady.
Yeah, like, you're just shady. Like, we don't want to deal with you. And then so you bring in a good guy like David Griffin, who's a likable guy. And then, you know, like, all of a sudden, that's a guy who you could be like, all right, well, I could talk to David Griffin. Let's see what's going on here, you know? And then, like you said, he's connected with LeBron and Rich Paul. And so that will be a draw for either to bring people in or to negotiate the Anthony Davis deal when the time comes.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's pretty good.
As far as an organization goes with the Pelicans, I don't think... Or here, we'll put it here. David Griffin is a great sign for the organization.
Of course.
Anybody that is going to come in is going to be because of him. But I think it's going to have an adverse or no effect on the whole Anthony Davis-LeBron thing. Anthony Davis he's going to go either... I just don't see these guys trading for Anthony Davis. I don't know. You offer the boat for him.
No, I don't think David Griffin being there is going to secure that you're going to be able to get people back from the Lakers or LeBron, related
that's what I'm saying.
To hook up with LeBron. I don't think that's going to have anything to do with it. But just the fact that he knows how to deal with that type of personnel.
Yeah, yeah.
And that kind of stuff, it helps.
This,
it definitely helps.
This is just a way for David Griffin to get back at LeBron. He's going to wave Anthony Davis in his face, and he's not going to trade him. And it's all going down to what he wrote on that giant letter. Yo, forget LeBron. Yo, I do not like this dude. We're going to win championships without him.
No. That's not him. That's
that,
Dan
that was,
Gilbert.
That was,
oh, that,
that
was Dan
David
Gilbert.
Griffin.
Yeah, they wrote it. They hand-wrote that
they
together.
Wrote it together.
David Griffin has a great relationship with LeBron, and so it's kind of, it's going to help the Pelicans a lot in this whole situation, I think. And they're in much better hands than they were 2 months ago, a month ago, when they, you know, had fired our boy Dell Demps. And shout out to Dell Demps, big listener of the podcast. Thank you, Dell, for not trading Anthony Davis to the Lakers. We know you listened to our show before you made your decisions.
At the end of the day, if you're David Griffin, you're like, yo, I built a team that won a championship. I built a team around a superstar, arguably the best player in the league, in LeBron James, and we won a championship around the team that I built and got pieces for.
And you beat the team that won 73 games.
Yeah. And then so you could go to Anthony Davis and be like, listen, I think you're the best, so I'm going to build a team around you.
There's no way he stays. Do either of you think Anthony stays?
I think
they're going to try to, you know, suck him off until, you know, they're going to try to suck him off to stay.
I don't think Griffin's taking anything less than a massive deal for Davis. I don't think the Pelicans are going to take anything less than a huge deal or a superstar player in return for Davis. And
so he's just going to sit all season.
No, he's going to play. But Griffin's going to remedy that. Like Raul said, he's going to suck him off.
Yeah.
He's gonna bolt him, dude.
None of this is going to... All right. So the next season, the game plan is to suck off Anthony Davis and make sure he stays. And he's going to play every game willingly without any of the same controversy coming in because he's going to be well off.
Yeah, because David Griffin's going to get down on him after every game.
You guys, you too.
Raul knows his thing. Raul's been in NBA locker rooms before. Yeah. He knows what happens.
Yeah. He's going to suck him off. Real good. Real good.
Give him the David Griffin special. That's how they won the championship with Cleveland.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
That's how they won the championship with Cleveland. LeBron was so happy because David Griffin is David Griffin special.
And you agree with this.
Of course.
I can't wait to see next season.
Anthony Davis is going to lose a game. He's going to come back. Man, I'm tired of this shit. Hey, come on. This is my special guy. This is my special guy over there.
Oh my god.
All right, this episode's done now. Let's go to final thoughts.
Yeah.
You guys got us one to start?
Yeah, good. Raul, are you upset?
I gotta check.
Raul's checking his
score. Okay. It's doable. Final thought. OKC, get it together. Happy Easter.
All right. Final thought for me. Happy Easter, everyone. Hopefully the second round of the playoffs is a lot better than the first round's been. It's been kind of eh. So hopefully the series are a lot better. I'm sure they will be. I'm looking forward to that Rockets-Warriors matchup. And the Bucks-Celtics matchups would be awesome. But a bunch of rematches from last year. Go ahead, Vic.
Final thought. Really looking forward to New Orleans Pelicans next season. Just want to see the outcome of this prediction. I think I'm going to be more interested in the New Orleans Pelicans because of this reason than any other reason you could have possibly gave me. I'm shocked at my fellow podcasters here.
Dude, that's what he does.
This is the reality of the NBA. This is how it goes.
Fine, I agree.
Listen, you don't think LeBron wanted to leave Cleveland so many times. Like so many times after like so many hard fought games and whatever, and he's just like he's not sure. Who do you think was there?
David Griffin walked.
After 2015, they lost in the finals. LeBron's like, man, I'm going back to Miami. David Griffin.
Walked in the locker room.
I want a 1 year contract. Why am I even here right now? Like, let me go play with my boy D Wade and Chris Bosh. Nah, like, come on.
No, hey, LeBron. Let me give you the David Griffin special.
Ooh.
LeBron, why don't you go over there and take off your socks?
The DGS?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for joining Connect Layups tonight. Remember, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, iTunes, and Google Play.
Don't forget to check us out on YouTube by searching Contested Layups. Episodes are full, episodes and more.
Remember, the Thunder are down by 14 right now. Hopefully, they pull out a win for Raul.
And don't forget to order the David Griffin special whenever you see him.
Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.